May the Lord help us to commence our service by singing hymn number 153, the first part, and we'll sing the first six verses. Hymn 153, the first part. Come, all ye chosen saints of God, that long to feel the cleansing blood, in pensive pleasure join with me to sing of sad Gethsemane. Hymn 153, the first part, concluding at the sixth verse.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we turn this evening to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. The 8th chapter in the Acts of the Apostles. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people of one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because out of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast fought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. and answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near, and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotius, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Gracious, holy Lord God, teach us now how to pray. Give to us that door of utterance, that guidance of thy Spirit, that we may ask what it is thy will to give. We bow before thee in the evening hour of this thy day. We come to worship thee again, once more and once less here on earth. May, Lord, this night we be found in the Spirit, as Philip and the eunuch were all those years ago. May, Lord, something be done this evening, which death cannot undo. May we rejoice in the name of Jesus Christ this night. May we fix all our hopes there in him and what he has done at Calvary. Deliver us, Lord, from trusting in our own obedience, in our own works, in our own name. Help us to flee from all and cleave to Christ and Christ alone. Bless, Lord, thy word. May we feed upon it. May we drink it in. May we be blessed and guided and taught by it. Make us fruitful hearers of thy word, we pray. Bless each one found here this night. Bless them with living faith in a living Lord Jesus. Bless them with hearing ears, with receptive hearts. Lord, it is thine to open our hearts to receive thy word. It is thine to give the faith mixed with the hearing. It is thine to give the prophet. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And bless the provision of thy house. Fill thy poor with bread. And do bless this people. Remember those who are sick and unwell. Lay thy healing hand upon them. Remember those detained from thy courts. And bless them wherever they are. And remember each one found here this night. Follow with thy blessing the Sunday school this afternoon. And bless us around thy table later this evening. May we come and behold, by faith, the Lamb of God. And may we be able to say, my Lamb, my Jesus, my Saviour, my friend. Bless, we pray, the ministry of thy word in this place. Help the deacons in the office I was called them to. Bless each church member. and bless each member of this congregation, ever present or absent. Guide them in the journey of life. Provide for every need. Bear every burden. Relieve each care. Guide each soul by faith to Calvary's cross. And to flee to the wounds of Jesus. Bring in others to worship here. And Lord, may there be a generation raised up to follow on, to continue in the worship of thy name here, when we are no longer on this earth, and when before thee we appear in our eternal home. May growing numbers worship here and praise thee in our room. And do bless thy church as it meets this evening up and down our land, and in other parts of this world. Bless the preaching of thy word. Bless the reading services. Hear the prayers that are put up in each service. Hear the private prayers which are known only to thee and to those who put them up. May, Lord, much be done this day, which will fill eternity with ever-growing praise. Hear, Lord, the prayers and hear the praises this day of thy people. And sanctify our hearts as we come to that time of the year when we remember thy suffering, thy death, and thy glorious triumphant resurrection. Sanctify the occasion, we pray. And Lord, may there be many this week look savingly to the cross of Christ for the first time. Grant thy blessing here on the coming Friday. Help thy servant as he preaches. Lord, may they worship at the gate of heaven. And Lord, come this night, make one of our number. Pour out thy blessing upon us. And when at last we come to tread the verge of Jordan, may we have a fear not, to carry us over that river. May we have the assurance in that day that we are thine and thou art ours. For Lord, if we are thine, thou wilt never say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Grant, Lord, that we may indeed be thine then. Grant, Lord, we may be thine now, this evening. And may we walk with God until our journey's end. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 153, commencing at verse 8. Backwards and forwards thrice he ran, as if he sought some help from man, or wished at least they would condole. 'Twas all they could, his tortured soul. Hymn 153, commencing at verse 8.
seeking the Lord's help. I ask you this evening to turn to the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter, part of verse 37. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a sweet testimony we have here. Here we have the essence of what it is to be a believer. Here we have the heart, the root of true living faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see in this chapter how God overruled the persecution of the church. It is in the days before the call by grace of Saul of Tarsus, and he is going about with great energy, doing his best to wipe out the Christian church and to wipe the name of the Lord Jesus Christ off the map. And for that reason, we read that many believers were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, to escape arrest and certain death. Up until that point, the Jews would have no dealings with the Samaritans. Remember how the disciples were astonished that our Lord should speak to that woman of Samaria. It took the persecution here for that prejudice to be broken down and for the gospel to be preached to them. They were made willing. It took the fires of persecution to make the Lord's people willing to preach even in Samaria. But you see, the Lord overruled. And many were added to the church because of this persecution. Because the people, as they went, they preached Christ to others. They spoke of him to others. And others saw by their lives what a real Christian lived like. And so, rather than the church getting weaker and smaller, which is what Saul of Tarsus wanted in those days, the very reverse happened. It increased. It strengthened. Souls were added to the church. The devil overreached himself. As he always does. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And what power and what effect and what profit there was in his preaching. It would appear that thousands who heard were saved. and believed unto eternal life. What great days they were in Samaria of joy. As they rejoiced in God their Saviour. And how precious was the name of Jesus Christ to them. But Almighty God also had his eye on one man. An Ethiopian. And in answer to his need, in answer, no doubt, to his prayers, he constrained Philip to leave those thousands and go into the desert to preach to one man. You see the preciousness with which Christ regards his people. He takes care of the thousands, but he also takes care of the ones and the twos. He takes care of his church and he takes care of the individual members of his church. Remember, when you are alone, Christ still watches over you. Christ still sees you. And he can answer your need. A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. We see here the faith of Philip. Here he is in Samaria. No doubt a congregation, probably of thousands. The word is being blessed. Souls are being added to the church. You might have thought that here's where Philip is called to preach for the rest of his days. And then we have the angel of the Lord speaking. Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. We don't read, he asked why. We know the outworking of it. Philip had to walk it out. And the Lord didn't tell him why, just told him to go into the desert. He didn't ask why. We don't read a word of complaint. And neither did he delay. God didn't have to tell him twice. He arose and went. Covet such faith, friends. It's precious and it's rare. But let us go to the God of all grace and all faith and ask him to give us like precious faith. Because this is a faith which honours God the most. And should it not be a believer's desire to honour God the most? We have here the sovereignty of the Lord. Unexpectedly, Philip's work in Samaria is done. Finished. The Lord raised him up. The Lord used him there, and now he was moving him on. He had work for him to do elsewhere. No doubt the work continued in Samaria. It did. We read the apostles, as they were returning to Jerusalem, preached Christ in many cities of the Samaritans. See, God is a sovereign. No man is indispensable. And God does remove his Philips, but he doesn't remove himself. His spirit abides and goes on. The work continues. He rose and went. I understand that it was a journey of round about 84 miles from Samaria to the Gaza Desert. A long way. And this man of Ethiopia, the eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And I understand that that was a journey of some 1,500 miles, so we're talking of a 3,000 mile complete trip. This man had gone 1,500 miles to worship at Jerusalem. He had gone there because he had a need. He had gone there because he had a hunger and a thirst, which couldn't be supplied where he was. He had gone there seeking for something. And he was returning a disappointed man. He hadn't got what he'd asked for. What he'd gone for. And he sat reading the Word of God. Although he couldn't understand it, he still read it. Although he couldn't see things clearly yet, it is clear that the Word was precious to him. He knew that there was something here that was what he needed. And it is no doubt that he was praying to God for help and for him to reveal to him himself through his word. And although he didn't know it yet, his prayer had been heard. And it had brought Philip all those miles to preach Christ in the desert. Friend, don't get discouraged. If you have long had to wait for God to reveal himself to you. Carry on praying. The Lord may be about to send you a Philip. Your prayer may suddenly be about to be answered. Don't give up. Carry on. The Lord has heard. And he is going to answer. His own time and his own way. But here again we see the over riding providence of God. What is the likelihood of two men meeting in a desert? Very small. There's no signpost in a desert. And yet, God guided the steps of Philip towards this man. And God guided the steps of the man who was driving the chariot towards Philip. Without either of them realizing it. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And to this moment, Philip didn't know why he had to go into the desert. And although it doesn't say so, he must have had many questions. In his own heart, he must have wondered why. Now he has his answer. And then notice again the obedience of Philip. When he receives this renewed direction, he runs. He can't get there quick enough. He goes as quickly as he can to obey what the Spirit has said unto him. Friends, seek to do the same. When the Lord gives you a command, ask him to give you that grace and that strength to obey quickly. Because again, we see here strong faith. Philip is walking with his God. And it is his privilege to obey what his master has said. So it should be with us. Philip ran liver to him. There's not much running today, is there? We get cumbered about. We get slowed down, do we not, by unbelief and pride and sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Philip runs to the chariot. And he hears this man reading. Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. As you've been singing in your hymns this evening, you've sung of the sufferings of Christ. This man was reading of the sufferings of Christ in that desert. And he wanted to know more. He wanted to know who it was Isaiah was speaking of. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Whether he is preaching to one man or to thousands, the theme is the same, Jesus Christ. Whether he is in the city of Samaria or the Gazan desert, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified that he preaches. That is the center of the gospel. That is what we are commanded to preach, Christ and Him crucified. And it is that ministry that is blessed. Some of you have known it, have you not? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the Lord helped him to preach. And the Lord helped the eunuch to listen. Friends, both are needed, are they not? Both are needed if something is to be done. You need just as much help to hear in the pew as those of us who are called to preach need help to preach in a pulpit. So when you come to the house of God, yes, I hope you do pray for the minister, but pray for yourself as well and for others in the congregation, that collectively the whole congregation may be helped, whether it is in preaching or whether it is in hearing, that there may be profit, that there may be power, that there may be something done, that Christ may be revealed to you. You see, the fruit of his preaching is our text. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How shall they believe except they hear? But I ask this evening you a question. We've all heard countless more sermons than this man had heard. But has any of your hearing ever produced the same fruit as it did with the eunuch? Or are you still as ignorant and as unbelieving and as hard-hearted? As you were when you were born. Search your heart this evening. Examine yourself. Solemn thing it is if after all the sermons we've been favoured to hear, if it has never produced the fruit of our text. Because, beloved friends, if that fruit is never produced, you'll never get to heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, it is a simple statement, is it not? Well, there's a hidden depth to it. He didn't just believe with his head, with his intellect. That's not believing. The devil believes that. When the devil sows unbelief in people's hearts, he has no doubt or unbelief in his own heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believes it and has never doubted it. But it doesn't do him any good, does it? Although he makes it his work to try and get men and women, boys and girls, to disbelieve the word of God and the account as we have of the creation of the world and of the life and death of Jesus Christ and the reason for it, he himself never doubts the accuracy of what we have contained in the word of God. But it never does him any good. And friends, we need a better faith than that of the devil. This man had it. What is it then to be a believer? Philip says here, in answer to the question, "See here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Here is the qualification for baptism. And here is the qualification for heaven. And here is a question, a solemn question for us all to consider, but especially those of you who this evening are not members of the visible church. Because the criteria for entrance into the visible church here below and into the church triumphant in heaven is one and the same. It is believing with all our hearts in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if this evening you rightly are not a member of this church or of another church, it is because you're an unbeliever. And no unbeliever who died in that state of unbelief ever got to heaven. It is not baptism that saves. It is believing on Jesus Christ that saves. But God's command is clear that all those who believe with all their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are welcome to the ordinances of the Lord's house, are welcome to the Lord's church. Indeed, they are commanded so to do. So what is it then to be a believer? What is it to believe with all your heart? Well, first of all, it is to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, God's beloved Son, sent into the world to save sinners. But secondly, it is to look to Him alone for salvation. It is to trust in Him and in Him alone. And in what He has done. You see, Philip preached unto him Jesus. He would have preached the name of Jesus. What does it mean? Saviour. He shall save His people from their sins. And so Philip must have preached both sin and salvation. And we need both. You will never flee to the Saviour if you do not know you are a sinner. If you do not believe you are a sinner. If you believe that you can save yourself, you'll never come to this Saviour. To believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is also to be brought to believe with all your heart that only Jesus Christ can save you from sin. And the fruit of believing is that you will come by prayer to the mercy seat. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the fruit of those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It means to come with all your need, to come with all your sin, to come with all your shame, to come with all your guilt, to come with all that condemnation that you feel, and that fear of being cast into a deserved hell, to bring it all to the feet of Jesus. And to ask him to have mercy upon you and to save you. Christ has blessings to impart. Grace to save you from your fears. Oh, the love which fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tear. Why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. And so believing and coming are one and the same thing. If you never pray to God to be saved, you are not a believer. If you never pray to God for mercy, you are not a believer. Because you haven't got the fruit of faith. And faith always has fruit. And the fruit, one of them, is coming to God in prayer. And asking him to save you. That really is why this man had come all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Because he had a need. And because he believed that his need could be supplied. And he wanted that need supplied. He couldn't rest until it was supplied. That is the experience of those who come into our text. Have you ever known that? And then to believe this, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's a precious thing. The unbelieving, proud Pharisees and scribes and priests hurled it at him as an insult. But it is his highest praise. And trembling sinner this evening, you can use it as a plea. Because he still receives sinners. And he still eats with them. He still welcomes them. He still accepts them. He still saves them. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then there's this point. To that one this evening who longs to know your interest in Christ, who longs to have faith in him. And yet you have faith, but you can't see it. You say, I don't feel I have faith. Let me ask you then this question. Have you begged for mercy today of Jesus Christ? Have you asked his forgiveness? Have you asked him again to show you? As you have long prayed? Lord Jesus, reveal thyself to me as my Lord and as my Saviour, my Redeemer, my friend. If you have not got faith, friend, then why are you praying like that? Why are you praying to one who you don't think you have faith in? You don't have confidence in, you don't have trust in. The very fact you're praying like that shows that God has given you that faith. Yes, it may be weak. And yes, he will increase it, and ask him to increase it, but don't despise what he has given you. Cast it not away. And carry on praying. But be encouraged this evening that is a prayer of faith. That is a fruit of faith. And you demonstrate by the fact that you can't stop praying. You have the faith of our text. It's because you believe, that's why you're praying. It's because your trust alone is in him, that's why you have continued in prayer. Even though you haven't yet got the answer that you want your satisfaction, and you will receive it in his time. So be encouraged this evening. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, our text here, it has on the one hand that spectrum of little faith. But it also has the spectrum of full assurance. The point is, both are looking to Jesus Christ for salvation. One just has more comfort than the other. But to you this evening who have a little faith, remember, that one who you love and who you admire and whose faith you covet with full assurance of faith, who gave them that full assurance? In the first place, it was God. They didn't give it themselves, did they? God gave it to them. And he can give you the same full assurance. Ask him for it. And keep on asking, keep on looking, and you might be surprised the answer he gives you. We shouldn't be, but we often are we not? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then some of you can say, can you not? You believe it because you proved it. The Son of God has come into your life. He has worked. He has saved. He has made Jesus Christ precious to you. This evening, you can say you love him. You can say that there is something in him that draws you to him. And there is something that attracts you to him. That there's something your heart goes out after. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then there are some of you who are those secret believers, who the Lord has visited you. He has blessed you with the pardon of sin. He has taught you to trust in the name of Jesus. He has taught you the preciousness of that work of redemption. And of him you can say he is your greatest treasure. Then it is true of you as well. What Philip says here, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. May the Lord help you this evening to obey that command. One of you has come this night and you've wondered why things have gone so wrong in life. Why nothing seems to have gone right. And yet you know the answer. Some time ago the Lord told you, did he not? He gave you that command. And you have not obeyed. That's why. May the Lord this evening enable you to be obedient. And at last, like Philip, to run in the way of his command. For love's sake. For Christ's sake. Because although it is not essential for salvation, it is essential for a completely consistent, obedient life. Suffer the word of exhortation this evening. And may the Lord help you to confess with this eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, all those who are taught like this are taught of God. This is how he prepares a poor sinner for glory. We are made believers here on earth. That we may be made true worshippers in heaven. Every single one without exception in heaven, this evening hour, looked by faith to Jesus Christ on earth. All their hopes were centered in him. We are taught to love him here. And then in heaven, we love him as we ought. As the hymn says, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And that will be one of the great joys of heaven, to love him with an unsinning heart. To love him as we should. We can't love him like that here. We can't serve him like that here, but they do up there in heaven. Never again will they sin. Never again will they dishonor him. Never again will they displease or grieve him. What a prospect, child of God. Then we will know fully, not till then, how much we owe. But friends, although we cannot know in all the fullness here how much we owe to him. Suffice it to say this, we owe him a great debt of love and gratitude, do we not? If we are favoured to believe that Jesus Christ took our sin, we owe him everything. May we then be made willing to give him everything. For remember, he gave us all for you, child of God. May you be enabled to do the same for him. And in sweet obedience, seek to live a life consistent to your Lord and Master, to show that you know something, even though it may only be a little, of that debt of love you owe to him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. May he make us all true believers in him, to rest in him, to trust in him, to love him, to follow him, and at last to be with him forever. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Timothy Parrish, who is also expected to preach at our special service on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Izzard is engaged to preach and also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn number 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Hymn 720.
Blessed Jesus, do indeed fill our hearts with thy love and blood and smile this night. Grant that we may wholly be taken up with a precious Christ and rejoice and rest in what he has done. Do pardon and forgive all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name thus far this day. Be with any, Lord, who now go on their way. Go with them, bless them, preserve them, keep them. And be with those of us now who remain to come at thy gracious command and invitation to thy table. May we come in faith, Lord, looking unto Jesus. And remember those who watch from afar. Give them like precious faith. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and forever. Amen.